Wow. I should just cut right to the podcast right now because I'm still speechless. My name is Cal C, and today on the Av Podcast, I bring my South Shore Av family members on to bask in the effervescent glow of the Raptors winning the East. And they're heading to the NBA Finals, where they'll be hosting Golden State. I can't believe I just said that. Wow. We break down what it means for the Raptors fans all over the country, Canadian basketball fans, the city of Toronto. Hold on. I just got to do it one more time. Wow. Wow. I'm just going to let you know right off the top that this podcast contains explicit language. And let's face it, I think we both expected that, right? South Shore Av is available wherever you listen to your podcasts. Listen, rate, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Google Podcasts, and Stitcher. And to catch up on my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. It's the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Av Radio. We the North. The North.
Welcome to the Av Podcast with Cal C on South Shore Av Radio.
Fuck yeah!
Yeah!
We play!
Welcome to the
finals!
Quiet and dying, yo!
Welcome to the
let's go! Yeah, bro! Welcome!
He stinks! Here we come!
GTA, Ontario, Canada!
What?
Shirt man's is
how long have we been waiting for this moment?
Going to the finals still, dog! Certain man's catching deaf eyes. Deaf eyes.
Oh my God.
Welcome to the Av Podcast. I got South Shore Av family members, Big Brother Curtis, Julian, aka Jules the Commish, and Headley. What's going on, boys?
Yeah, man.
Yep.
Yeah. I don't even know where to start.
Hold on. It's Big Brother Curtis, and I got my girl Stella in my hand.
I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy for you. Okay, who the hell wants to start first?
Yo, I'll say this. You know what? When Kurt was talking about, I said from the beginning, as soon as we won Game 5, we had Game 6, and exactly like Kurt said, even if we would have lost Game 6, we were going to win Game 7. The Bucks was too young, too green. They needed to pay their dues. We've had playoff hardship having to deal with DeRozan leading us for 5-6 years. It was our time now. Even though we were down 15, when we tied the game up, Fear the Deer, they were like deer in headlights. I was like, it's done. We have them.
Yo, for me, this, you know what, as happy as I am for everybody, yo, I wish Masai was in front of me right now, man. Like, yo, I would hug that dude. That dude, like, the respect and love I got for that dude, man, the chances he took, I mean, what he did to blow up this shit that wasn't working and got criticized for it.
Yeah.
Like, coach of the year, he threw out the door. You know what I mean? The franchise player he threw out the door. All that shitty, all that flack he got. And now you're here?
I mean, you'd hold his hand, wouldn't you?
That's crazy. Hey,
you'd hold his hand, wouldn't you? You'd grab his hand.
Kawhi on one hand and him on the other, bro. Straight up. I ain't even lying. Yeah. I'll even drop Stella. Like...
Man, for me, I'm just cherishing this moment. I'm going, like I told you, Calvin, like I said, we're going to have to wait to do this podcast because I was literally booking a flight to San Fran.
Yes, that's right.
I can tell you, right. It was like 7:20. I was just about to book it. I'm going to game 4.
I'm going to go down there. Joel's going to try to hook up some tickets. Either or, we're going to buy some. We're going to get a scalper's ticket. I'm going down. The whole game, for this game, I don't know if you want to start talking about the game, but I won't lie. I said to people, if we just stay close, people wanted us to close them out in the first quarter, stomp on their necks. This is a closing game. I knew that was not happening. Because the Bucks, you know, they were like the best team in the regular season, number one team. We're not going to be closing out on no Bucks like from the first quarter. I said if we just stay close throughout the first three quarters, fourth quarter, Kawhi and Raptors, because we've been closing out well in the fourth quarter, we will win this. And as Helly said, as we got that tie and the crowd, I knew we had it. I'm relishing in the moment. Every single minute from this point on to every single game, I'm going to be either here watching it, I'm going to be in Cali, I'm going to try to get into a game. I'm going to cherish every moment. This is a once-in-a-lifetime for all of us.
Oh, absolutely. That's going to happen again.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is crazy.
Look, this win, it wasn't just for Raptors fans. Let's face it. This is for all the basketball fans that had to endure their games being preempted by curling. You know what I mean?
Oh, my God. Well, darts.
Or darts. Yeah.
It's
oh,
the truth.
Shit.
Honestly
speaking, man, like just from all them days, man, just from, you know, fucking everything, man. Like, you know, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable.
You know, I remember having to wait for highlight and have to watch 20 minutes of hockey highlights before they even mention a ball highlight. Our own Toronto Raptors, they'll tell you stuff about the LA Kings versus the Minnesota Wild before they would give you the Toronto Raptors update.
And don't even think about seeing any other highlight from any other game.
I know. Forget it. That's just to get our local stuff.
In all honesty, though, like, man, I'm going even further back. I'm going back to the point where we used to get NBA games on Friday nights and on Sunday afternoons. That's it.
Yep. Yeah,
and that was like the highlight, like late Friday night games, like Sunday afternoon, the 1 o'clock games, and it was always the Sixers or the Celtics and the Lakers. Like it was always one of those three teams. Maybe they threw in the Knicks. To go through all of that in my lifetime to get to this point, this shit is ridiculous.
Do you have to be a Canadian to get the Order of Canada?
What's that?
We're not coming up with something.
What's that?
No, I was asking, do you have to be Canadian to get the Order of Canada?
Oh, shit. Shit. We can start a petition.
Yeah, I think that would be a good idea, though, for real. All jokes aside. Damn.
Yo, on a crazy tip, I'm looking in the future. What does this do for the young kids coming up, man?
Mm-hmm.
Like, Canada basketball is already exploding. But imagine what it does 10 years from now, 15 years from now, this experience.
Yeah.
Think about that shit.
It will dwarf that the whole Carter effect.
Dude, I'm already thinking about that. If we can get Kawhi to stay, imagine we can finally recruit.
Yeah.
This could be a place, this could finally be a destination where guys want to come to.
And I mean, you're kind of seeing it already. You're seeing the different celebrities at the games and stuff that's popping up like this week. And I was actually pretty surprised by that, the high level of celebrity that was coming down here to watch these games. You know, so that alone was like, wow, like there's a bit of a shift here. You know,
I don't know if they were coming down here. I mean, don't forget, Toronto has a lot of projects that comes out.
No, of course.
I was about to say, but Toronto's like, it's not like it's not known. People are like, Toronto's not known, but. Like, from all the film that's done here, the movie set that's done here, like, it's crazy. And I think the NBA did a good job in highlighting the Jurassic Park. So, like, for any free agents, they can see...
It's nuts, the Jurassic Park.
Yeah.
It's nuts.
Like, tonight was ridiculous.
That shit went down to the convention center.
The Union Station.
Yeah, it went down to the convention center.
Crazy. I had my boys hitting me up. It was like, yo... The Jurassic Park looks like it's New Year's Eve or something like that, man. Like,
what?
They said it looks like it's New Year's Eve. Like,
yeah, right.
You're like, what the hell?
The city's been waiting for this, man. City's been waiting for this. Even like, if you look at the Leafs or, you know, Well, the Jays not in a while.
Can we just think? Can we win this?
Yes.
Yeah, I think this is an actual shot. And this is not we're not getting hyped off the moment. But at least not, nope. I'm not getting hyped off the moment answering this. I think they actually have a really good shot. Because you know what, as we said in the last, like I was saying before, like defense travels, man. You never know what's gonna happen. You know, like with your shot and all that stuff. But yeah. Golden State's gonna be a hell of a load. Obviously, we all know that, especially if Durant comes back. But I mean, even if he does, you got the best defender probably in the last 10 years that's gonna be standing in front of him. Even though he's given up inches, he's still a hell of a load. It's going to be – I think they have a really good shot. I think
– And we got home court advantage.
And not – I just want to add –
Cover is huge. That's huge. That is so huge.
I actually just want to add real quick. I think the key to this series is going to be the bench. I think the Raptors have to win that matchup. They have to win the matchup between Golden State's bench and their bench. They have to win that matchup. I think that's going to be the key to the series.
Yeah, but you're saying that
early predictions, of course. But yeah,
it's one thing to keep Giannis in check. It's going to be another thing to keep KD in check.
Well, KD's not there for the first game or two.
Okay, you know what? Differently than what Chris was saying, I just hope he doesn't play this series.
You know what?
I just hope he doesn't play at all this series, KD.
Who would want him to play?
Curtis, you want to play?
You know what? I swear to God, I would go with KD. As stupid as it may sound, because I think, honestly, I watched the Golden State play without KD, and they look like the best Golden State team I've seen in like 4 years. The way they're playing, with the way Draymond Green was pushing the ball, and finding people, and like they were like running around. Remember that cartoon in the newspaper, Family Circus?
Yeah.
I remember they used to draw that shit. That's how Curry and Klay Thompson look. Like if they're a part of Family Circus. It was nonsense. How do you guard that shit?
I'm not going to lie.
Listen to this. You have to think about this. Golden State played 5 games without KD. They played Houston and 4 against Portland Trail Blazers. Houston don't play no damn defense anyways. Portland, other than they're very bottom heavy. When I look at Golden State, our KD, as Calvin mentioned, our defense will be the best defense that Golden State has played.
And I was going to mention the same point.
All that runoff on screens and whole nine that they're doing with Green, will neutralize that. And our guys on defense, on the wings, they're going to bust through those screens. Now, if KD's playing, that's a whole different animal and beast that we're going to have to deal with. And that's going to take a lot of energy. We're going to have Leonard to match up on him in defense.
Yeah, that's going to take a lot of energy.
And then to rely on him on offense afterwards. That's why I prefer without KD. I think we match up better. Like that 5 games that they played, that sample, they're not the Toronto Raptors. They won't do that to the Toronto Raptors, in my opinion.
Not a chance.
Exactly.
Listen, Curtis, you know who we need to return? Boogie Cousins. That's who we need to return. That's who we need to return.
Well, I said I want both of them to return. Because if Boogie comes back, I said before, if Boogie comes back, like he's so egotistical. He's gonna think he can do the same shit he's been doing all
exactly. Yes.
And he's gonna demand the ball and that shit.
Demand the free agent too.
I want both of them to come back, to be honest with you. Because I think again with KD, as great as KD is they ball watch him, and they don't move the ball as much. Like Curry and them defer to him so much, they don't move the ball as much.
And I do agree to that, but there's a reason to it. KD is unstoppable.
Yeah, I know. I think Kawhi. I know it's energy, but I think Kawhi. I believe in Kawhi. That's my thing,
which is cool.
But he's got 5 days to rest now between now and Thursday. So, I mean, he's going to get his energy up. And every game is...
spread out that finals.
Yes, you're getting 2 days of rest between every game. So you're going to have to leave a lot on the line.
Think about this. We know that KD is going to be his responsibility if he plays. If he doesn't play, he can just roam on defense. You can put Pascal or Serge on Green and, like,
this guy can actually conserve some energy. He's not going to be dealing with Clay or Steph. We got wing guys to take that. You know what I mean?
Man, Hedley, you saying that like oh, they got that no problem. Like, dude.
Yeah, I know.
I'm not saying that's no problem. I'm saying that's better than dealing with KD. Absolutely.
I don't know. The nonsense I've seen those guys playing without KD, my jaw dropped to the floor last week watching them play.
It did look good. I'm not going to lie.
They looked amazing.
Draymond looked good. And Curry, those two. But,
yeah,
anyhow,
but Portland played well though, Hedley. Portland played well. Listen, they were up by 17 three out of the four games out of that series, and they still got swept. That's how great Golden State was playing.
What were the scores? Is there any score under 100 points?
I'm not fact checking today, so I don't know what the scores are.
I'm not fact checking either, but I'll probably tell you no.
Asking me all these questions, man.
Okay, but
all I'm telling you, you know what it was? It was who can score the most points. That's not Toronto. They're not going to do that to Toronto. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
Listen, Portland didn't play well. Dame didn't play well.
Come on, man.
No, they did not play well at all.
That's what I'm saying.
No, they did not play well at all. I'm going to be honest. And they got swept to prove it. I don't care if they're up 17.
Sorry, Hedley. You said your question was what? If they scored over 100 points?
Yeah.
Okay, so the last game, game four, they scored 117, Portland. The other one was 99.
Not Portland. I thought about Golden State.
Yeah, they did.
You said Portland. Okay, so
game, what was it? Game four, it was 119, 117. Game three was 110, 99. Game two was 114, 111. And I think game one was the only one that was, game one was the only one that was a blowout. Actually, now that I remember.
Okay, so that's you made my point. Every game was over 100 points. Actually, I think the lowest one was 110, you just said.
What is your point anyway, Kylie? I'm just curious.
My point I'm trying to say is that Portland doesn't play defense like Toronto plays defense. And that's the point I'm trying to make. You're saying that Portland played them well. It was an offensive scoring game. That's what it was. It's not going to be bucked down defense like it is going to be against Toronto. So they're not going to do
totally
that stuff
to Toronto. Totally
exactly.
Game.
That's what I'm trying to tell them.
I think it's going to be a tight series, man. Like I'm not going to say Toronto's going to win it. I'm not going to say Toronto's going to win it. But we're going to get some games in. We're going to win some games.
And honestly, I think Toronto's going to win it. I think this is it. I'm going out there on the limb, and I'm saying they're going to win it. I think Kawhi is willing these guys to a level that they don't even know they had in them.
Lowry really didn't know you had it in him.
Seriously.
If they win this, I'm hog-tying Leonard. He ain't going nowhere.
No, seriously, I'm not.
I'm taking his passport.
Let me ask you guys a question.
Going on a hunger strike.
Hold your question for a second. I just want to add.
Okay,
I just want to piggyback what Curtis was saying. I think there's so much storylines that's going to formulate in the next like few days or whatever, especially with Steph coming back to play in his old, you know, one of his old homes in Toronto and stuff. You know, that's going to be a storyline with the Currys and everything else. The biggest, I think one of the most underrated stories is I think Kawhi's out for revenge. The last time Kawhi was in the playoffs, he didn't even sun Golden State that first game before he got hurt in the Western Conference Finals. He deboed them. So the fact that he never got a chance to complete that, I think that's on his mind. As competitive as he is, I think there's a revenge factor in that. So I think that's going to be a really interesting perspective with that. I don't think we've seen the best of Kawhi. And I think partly it's because of the revenge factor. As crazy as it is to say, because of Zaza.
Because
he didn't get a chance to go up against Golden State. He was killing them, and then he got hurt.
I remember he was killing them.
They were up by 25. I almost want to say he was up by 25 because he dominated them to that degree, all of them. You know what I mean? So maybe a mistake.
But didn't he get hurt by Zaza?
Yeah, he did. But what I'm saying is that first game he didn't get a chance to really go at them in the series. He was already dominating them, and he got hurt. So that's something you're sitting with for 2 years, right? Because on top of the injuries, on top of the ankle injury, you had the quad injury, and that whole San Antonio season was a wash. His whole career at San Antonio was over after that. So the fact that it's like poetic justice that he's going up against them in the finals. So that's why I'm very interested.
Yeah, that's true.
I hope he has that in him.
I hope he's looking back at that day or that game or that series and everything. I hope so.
Yeah.
With this guy, you don't know, man. He could be motivated by the most trivial things. And I have no clue.
And that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah, which is great.
That's fine. Great. And sorry, what was your question? I know you wanted to jump in.
No, I was just going to ask, like, if we do win it all, does that really improve our chances of keeping Kawhi?
It has to. Oh, hell yeah.
It has to.
Oh, hell yeah. Even though, really? Honestly, I think he's staying just because we're going to the finals. I think he's staying.
Well, really? I always said, Calvin, when everybody was feeling all good about that Game 7 win, I was like, guys, to me, it doesn't mean shit if we get if we get devoed by the Bucks. I was like, if anything, the barometer for this season from the beginning, because it was so adamant from everybody he wants to go home, is that we have to win the Eastern Conference Finals. We have to go somewhere where this team has never gone before for us to have a chance in keeping him.
I guess I'm looking at it from a different way, man. I'm thinking, like, if he wins it, he accomplished what we wanted, like the organization, the city, the country. He accomplishes what he wanted to do, increase his value, win a championship ring. What more else would he need? He can go home.
No, but isn't the whole point of any, like, mega superstar who cares about winning championships is to win?
So yeah, why would you leave? We're talking about NBA. We're talking about the NBA culture.
Yeah, but he's not your
American,
typical,
like, too. He's not your typical, a different country. I know what you're starting. That's how we think. That's how we as fans or competitors think, but not in the NBA.
He's not your typical NBA player, though.
I think if he wins, he's going to want more than just one championship on his own. Because this would be his own championship. Nothing to do with the Spurs, you know, with the collection of players that they had. This will be like his championship, and I think he'll want more to build on that. So I think if he left and he went to, say, let's say the Clippers, that's basically starting. I mean, they're
starting
a good team
over.
With him on there. But that'd be like almost starting over. Right now, he's if they win, if they pull this shit out, they've got the formula already, and all they'll just look to add one or more pieces. And you know, Masai is a genius, so he's got to trust the Masai. He's not going to let them fall any further than, you know, another great run. So I think if he wins, he's like, there's no way in hell he's going to stay.
Now let me ask you now. Do you guys think, though, at this stage, though, he's connected with the city now? Do you guys feel that or no? Do you just think, like, oh, that's not a factor?
Hell yeah, he talked more than he ever talked just now.
I think he's as connected as he ever will be. He doesn't, you know, he's never really a connected person, if you want to, that's a phrase. Like,
you never heard anything about being around the city or.
Yeah, he's not going to be involved. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying, like, I see what Calvin's saying, but you've never heard of no outings. You haven't heard him really say other than little cliche stuff about the city.
Right, no, I understand that point, but I'm saying as of right now, as of the last 2 weeks, from Game 7 and, against Philly until right now, do you think that's a stronger bond with the city?
I think so, because his career was solidified already, but he's done this year and this postseason has just amped his whole career to another level, and it's all bounded to Toronto. There is a connection. There's an automatic connection with Toronto just from what he's done in the playoffs.
I think, honestly, I think the biggest thing why he stays is the trust that he has in management. The way that he treated him, 22 games missed because of load management. And I could tell you, I was one of the ones that was pissed, like, yo, when is these fucking back-to-backs going to end?
I never cared.
they stuck with it.
I argued it.
The formula worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, think of it. He wants to go home in the Clippers now. He was going to stay in San Antonio if he didn't have that whole hiccup.
Mm-hmm.
So this whole thing going home is only something of new.
Thanks, Popovich.
I think like the way his, you know, Masai and Nick Nurse has treated him. They employed two of his own coaches. The organization allowed him to have his own doctors to fact check things where San Antonio didn't want to.
Well, again, when you make that trade, I've been saying all season, he's kind of had them by the balls. You know what I mean? What they did was excellent. Yeah, A1 stuff was excellent. But, I mean, you kind of have to do that because you want to make him feel. The whole thing with San Antonio was that he lost. No, but what I'm saying is the whole thing with San Antonio is that he lost trust with how they were treating him. So you want to do almost the opposite of everything that they did. So even if it meant – that's why I didn't care about the low management thing because I'm like, yo, Kawhi's a playoff performer. This guy plays better in the playoffs than he does in the regular season.
Did you expect the back-to-backs to be for the whole season? Have you ever heard of that
No, I don't. Even by April, I was like, damn, they still doing this? But I wasn't mad because I'm like, yo, if he ends up balling, if it gets you back to the 2017 Kawhi, I'm good. I don't care. You know what I mean? I don't care.
You know what's kind of scary?
Is that he still got hurt.
Yeah.
On a non-contact play. Like, he went for a layup and he still got hurt.
Yeah.
Like, the load management, you know, it kind of worked, I guess, but did it really? He's still hurt. And I was saying this to you guys earlier in the chat group. That injury might have helped us most out of everything in terms of curing him for a long-term contract. Mm-hmm. Because if you're getting hurt, are you really going to leave $50 million on the table?
True.
And you're getting hurt still?
True. True. Good.
That's
point.
What I looked at. I'm like, yo, this might be gold. It's going to be gold. Because now he better start thinking about money and long term. And he still got hurt on this. Because
$50 million is a lot of money to leave on the table.
He already left the Supermax money.
I know.
On the table.
That's what I'm saying. Yep. So if you do this, like I always said, that's $80 million you've left. To go play to LA. Is it really worth that much to play for the Clippers? And I like the Clippers. You know, we've been talking about the Clippers and Brooklyn, how they're on the come up. But again, is it worth that much? That's a lot of money.
I'll sign the shortest contract. I don't know. I'm not, you know, capologist, but or whatever, or his agent. I'll sign the shortest contract I could with Toronto. He's 27, right?
Yeah.
He still come out in his prime, right? This will come out in his prime. He can go home at 30 or whatever.
Yeah.
That's what I would do. Now that the team is a legit.
To tell you the truth, to back what you're saying is that I think he has 8 years of service. So if he does like a one plus one, get to 10 years, he can actually solidify like the 10 year.
Yeah, it'll be back 10, to 200 10
year usage. Yeah, exactly.
Well, I don't know, but like I don't know what's the minimum. I don't know if he can do a one plus one. I think he has to do three.
Oh,
okay. I don't know. I don't know. But whatever that is, that's something that he has to consider now.
I thought he has to do three.
Three, yeah, I think so. Yeah, he has to do three. And that's like, and he comes out at 30. And he's still, you know, it's not your prime, but you still can get, you still at that window where teams will give him max. Like CP3 did. Like the Clippers did. Not Clippers. Rockets did the CP3 that they were. But he'll still get max, right? So that's what I'm thinking that the best possibility. But I don't know. We'll see what happens in terms of him staying or not.
All right. So to wrap up, going forward, guys, final thoughts, man, on today, man. Final thoughts.
Well, I said to you guys, man, I nearly cried. I swear, I don't care who's listening, I nearly cried. When my wife came and hugged me, like she saw me like just being quiet. Like, I'm just watching it. I was just quiet. She came and gave me a hug. Tears almost, I said, never formed, almost. Started like building up in my eyes. I was like, yo, what's going on here? Man, this is the once in a lifetime moment. I think we all should to remember this, take it all in, and shoot, man, I'm going to Cali. There's no question, I'm going to Cali.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, go ahead. Anybody else want to jump in?
Jack and Leo were talking about this. Watching the first Raptor game, and you know, we're all fans, right? So we know the sport. But going from that first Raptor game where they basically have to explain what the fuck a double dribble is, mm-hmm. like at every dead ball, to go from that 25 years ago with those damn Barney dinosaurs,
mm-hmm.
to now we're on the verge of getting a world championship. Like, we saw the Bulls do this six times. You know what I mean? Like, this is actually going to be, this could be here in Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, it's crazy, man. Yeah. It's crazy, like, how far, I mean, yeah, it's been 25 years, like, or however long.
Yeah, 23 years, I believe, yeah.
Since 96. Since, you know, the Raptors has been here.
But it's crazy, like, yo, how just to see the growth. It's like seeing like a child grow into a man, like that progression that we see in where we are at now.
The growth has been amazing. Like, for, I know for me, like, I remember watching that very first game. I think they played the Nets, you know, and we're rooting for you know, for Damon Stoudemire, the Mighty Mouse. And the biggest victory, the biggest, like, highlight point of the season was beating the Chicago Bulls, you know?
Yeah,
and,
exactly.
And they almost still lost that because Jordan hit that shot at the buzzer, but I think he shot it right after the buzzer, and it still went in. But, you know, that was, like, the biggest highlight, you know?
I still remember, and this still pisses me off to this day, when Kobe scored 81 on us.
Yeah, that was embarrassing. It, not only was it the most embarrassing moment in Raptor history.
Yo, not only was it embarrassing, these motherfuckers here, when the Lakers came back to play, was using that as promo. Like, how do you use promo that they scored 81 on us for the visiting Lakers coming in town? I was disgusted. Who's doing this? And then to come from that defeated position, and then what, to back what Big Brother Kurt was saying, what Masai did this year. Like, what happened last year, we was like, you know what, enough's enough. And he made some, like, we talk about doing bold stuff, but we're behind a computer. Mm-hmm. But for this guy to be like, yo, I'm cutting out the coach of the year, I'm trading away DeRozan. Like, yo, he did some things. They always talk about this. There's two types. I can't remember who I was listening to in the pod. You have two types of GMs. You got the GMs that go for it, and you got the GMs that do enough to keep their job and not lose it.
Right.
Nobody would have said the latter if he decided to just, you know, Casey was coach of the year. Of course you're going to keep coach of the year. LeBron has now left the East. Of course, you're gonna go and you're gonna run with the set again and see how far they can do it. Now, yeah. You know what I mean? But he was like, "Nah, I'm not doing the space stuff no more. I already gave them their leash and their latitude from before. I'm gonna hurt some feelings, but you know, this is about sports. This is about competition, and you play to be first. You don't play to be second. You don't want to back in to the playoffs." And that's how people are acting, like, oh yeah, LeBron is out, now we can back up into first. He's like, nah, forget that. Go on the offense. And he went for it.
And Hedley, you remember, I know you remember when Tim Lewicki, whatever his name is, when they came in, remember how excited we were? Because
that, we knew that pedigree.
Yeah, the mantra is championships. It's not making the playoffs. It's not yo, we got here first round. Woo! You know, it was championships. Championships are bust. That was Lewicki's whole vision. If you look at his resume, that was his whole vision with sports. It was just championships. I want nothing but championships.
You know, he brought him aside, but the best. Did he?
Yeah, and then he brought him aside. And that was the same thing Masai was preaching. Sorry, go on, Curtis.
But honestly, who would want to see, like, I respect DeRozan, but I didn't respect him. Because when it came time to the playoff, like, that was your leader. Like, who would want to see that another time, like, another show of that?
Yo, dude, you're preaching to the choir, man.
I know, that's what I'm saying. So,
except for Julian. Julian loved us as DeRozan.
Oh, no, man. Yeah,
my man, man. I'm not
going to. No, man, no. That dude, like, again, just going back to Masai, for getting rid of him, it was such that was like
a lot of balls, man.
Feelings. That was the best feelings for me as a Raptor fan, is when they got rid of DeRozan. It was actually one of the best feelings for me. But going back to what Calvin you're here.
Go on. You're going to make Julian cry twice.
Sorry, Jay. What? But going back to what Calvin said, I'll echo Jay in this, is that I didn't know how to act. Like, I was jumping around for 1 minute, and then I stopped, I was quiet, and I looked at the wifey, and I actually embraced her. And I hugged her. And I was like, we did it. Like, we did it. I played a minute. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, we did it. It's such a big moment, and just looking at, like, today, like, my son, like, Jalen, he's down playing in EYBL tournament in Dallas, and I'm talking to him today, and it came out of my mouth so easily. I was like, just play like a leader, play like Kawhi, do this like Kawhi, and the words came out like Kawhi, like Kawhi is just. I said the last time I got a man crush on the dude. Play like Kawhi. I was like, no.
What do you guys think of the chances of Toronto getting back a second team? Not Toronto, Canada, back in Vancouver. What's the chances that Canada gets another? Like,
I don't know.
You see how?
You know what? There is no other city in Canada like Toronto. Mm.
No, I'm not about to say.
And that's the biggest factor, right? There's other large cities, right? But not like Toronto in terms of the culture base, in terms of the money that can be generated in this city versus other cities. Corporations selling out the box seats. There's no other city like it. We're one of the largest cities in North America, period.
Yeah.
So, I know. And we're one of the top. I can't remember what number we are in terms of evaluation, but when you think about, I know we're in the top 10.
Well, hold on. Imagine what the value this team is worth now.
Oh God,
I know.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, there's a lot of smaller market teams, and I know Seattle. I know that I can't remember this names being floated there that might get franchises, and I know at one point they were talking about Vancouver coming back, but you don't think. What's happening here in Toronto, people don't think like, hey, and don't forget, this is Toronto's team, but this is also Canada's team.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people that follows their ball because it's the only Canadian team that we have. So even though Vancouver doesn't have a team, it's not like Vancouver doesn't have interest in basketball.
No, of course.
Oh, no, they have a fan base.
Of course.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to go on a limb and just say no. just because, honestly, I'm like, if you're going to give a team to the Northwest, it has to be Seattle before anything else.
Yeah.
Before anything else. You can't put a second team in Canada before you put a team in Seattle. No way.
Why?
Well, Seattle's got a deep history of basketball from the players, from what the Sonics did. The Sonics won titles there. I mean, it got that franchise got ripped out from them. It wasn't like they just sold it. The owner took it and fleeced them. So,
that's
one of David Stern's, that was one of his biggest regrets, you know, allegedly from what he was saying. So, listen, I've never been to Vancouver, you know, but I'm like, it'd be cool to have another team here, but I'm like, you got to give that to Seattle first. And then we could talk about Vancouver, Halifax, whatever, and I don't care, but like, just whatever, just what we need that there first.
I just don't think another team in Canada can support it. The market is Toronto, man. Was it Ed Leo Jules that said earlier? Like, there's no other city in Canada like Toronto. There is none.
Yeah.
I don't think they can support it. It just like it didn't work for a reason the first time. I don't think it's gonna work a second time. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like
the Drake factor alone can't be duplicated.
Yeah.
It may sound like stupid, but it's true.
Yeah.
Like, it's not stupid because me and Calvin, when me and Calvin, I don't know who else was on board, but when we heard about Drake. Being the ambassador of the Raptors.
Yeah, we loved it.
We loved it right from the beginning.
Yep.
I mean, it took, like, I thought that was going to bring us some free agency, and it really didn't. But I didn't see no downside.
It didn't hurt.
No, not at all.
No, it didn't hurt. And we always said, you know what? He's friends with a lot of these players. He gets to play in the gray area. You know what I mean?
Yeah. When you look at Jurassic Park, in terms of the people that are there, the ethnicities and the type of people, that is like Drake. Like that's why it works so well. Because although you notice older people may not like his antics, and you know even younger people, but a lot of people may not, you know, particularly us Drake fans, don't like Drake being the ambassador or getting those courtside seats and all that. But who cares? The majority of the fans in Toronto right now is that age group and that ethnicity, culture, my visible minorities to Europe, white, like he hits everything. So it worked perfectly and it brings in money, not alone just bringing in fans or bringing in free agents. Every aspect of it worked.
Yeah. As you said, you know what I love about Toronto? When they pan the stands, a camera, and you see the different hues, of people, and that's Toronto, man. That's that's the beauty. When they pan the stands, and you see the black, the brown, beautiful. You see turbans, you see. It's like you don't see that in other stadiums.
No.
Listen, and other parts of Canada or northern parts of Ontario must be looking at this and saying, "Whoa, Toronto is like another world." Toronto's another world. Look at the people and look at the ethnicities. It's not a reflection of even.
Well, it's all of it's like Buffy says. It's New York, but it's clean.
Yeah, it's a different world. It's a country within itself, Toronto. Yeah. Anyhow.
Yeah, but like I said, at the end of the day. We're about to see Toronto be put on a spotlight hopefully for the next 2 weeks.
Oh man!
And it's gonna be amazing. Like to echo what you're saying, Julie, this is the
once in a lifetime thing.
And as I said, as basketball fans, who again I'll say it again, that had to be preempted by curling and all that other shit, by darts. You know what I'm saying? By Formula One. By that's bordering the show that just showed cars for a half hour when there would be a game on. Like all that shit from Curtis, do you remember this from the days that like we had to wait till 2:30 in the morning to watch CNN Tonight with Fred Hickman and Nick Charles, like all that stuff. We had to go through all that shit, and now we're right here. We're hosting the finals.
Not only that, just even during our new reign in the last 5 and 6 years where we're winning 55 plus games. Mm. We were still only getting maybe half a dozen games on national TV.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Sure.
Now we're going to be, so that was just a short 5, 6, 2, 3 years ago to now we're in the NBA finals where that's going to be telecasted in over 200 countries everywhere.
Yep.
Well, you're gonna probably have some people who's never seen a Raptor game in their life before, Sri Lanka watching the game.
Exactly. You think you'll get a Christmas Day game now?
No, we're not getting one.
You know what?
Hold on. I'm gonna tell you why we're not getting one. The Bucks and Raptor series was one of the lowest TV ratings series in the last 10-15 years. I don't know if you guys saw that.
I saw that
yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
In how many years?
I don't want to say a number, but they said in the last so many years, I can't remember the number.
Really?
It was a while. Yep. One of the lowest ratings. Well, it's Milwaukee and Toronto.
Yeah. Well, it's Toronto because they can't use those ratings.
Canadian
right?
viewers. Yeah, the Canadian. It's the entire country, but they're not taking that in.
To wrap this up, though, I think this is about to be a memorable finals.
The journey alone. The
journey is amazing, but honestly, the storylines are going to be amazing. But I really do feel that Kawhi is going to show us something else. On that note, fellas, thank you for coming on the podcast today, man. We the North, man. We celebrating right now.
In the finals.
Yeah. We about to do it, man. We about to do it. This is crazy.
All I gotta say is, I want more.
Yeah,
I'm satisfied. I want more.
Yeah, now that my belly got full.
Yeah, I want more.
Yep,
good.
You got a few days to let your stomach settle down. Just drink some peppermint tea. You're good. Now, a couple of things before we, call it a day on this episode. I got to give props to the Milwaukee Bucks. Like, I knew this team would improve just due to his coaching change in May last summer, but I really wasn't expecting them to be the number one team in the NBA. Giannis, he jumped another level, and he's probably going to win his first of multiple MVPs at the end of June. And listen, man, no slander on that kid. That kid played with a ton of heart. It's just a rite of passage, and, he's got to go through them playoff pains. Which, again, it's his first time really dealing with real expectations. But he's going to have an incredible career. And honestly, man, I'm a huge fan of his. I can't wait to watch his game grow. He's going to have many chances of trying to win a championship. So I don't feel sorry for him yet. It's just part of the game. And now that we got that out of the way, I'll say it again. In my wildest dreams, I did not see the Raptors going to the finals this year. I didn't expect this to happen. I'll freely admit it. And I'm glad I'm wrong. Watching the city go apeshit last night, it was beautiful. And for the first time ever, basketball did that. It's incredible. Shout out to all the Raptors fans that had to endure them dark days. Watching Bargnani. Guys like Aaron Montrose roaming the paint. Rafael Araújo getting drafted ahead of every and any other meaningful player behind him. You know, and to the point now where we're seeing the Raptors, that same franchise, now hosting the NBA Finals against Stephen Clay, Draymond, and possibly KD. It's basketball nirvana right now in Toronto. I'm telling you, live in the moment, Toronto. Embrace the history that's been set and continue to root for the home team. And let's hope in a couple of weeks, everybody's on Yonge Street partying their asses off. And as always, thank you for tuning into the AV podcast today. Special shout out goes out to the Sal Sharad family members, Big Brother Curtis, Julian, a.k.a. Jules and Kamish, and Headley for coming on the AV today to discuss history. Just discussing that history is being made tonight. Unbelievable. Listen and rate and subscribe to all the shows coming from Sal Sharad Radio, which you can listen to on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Google Podcasts, Spotify, as well as Stitcher. And to catch up on my entire catalog of podcast shows, make sure you subscribe to SouthShoreAv.com. Once again, that's SouthShoreAv.com. For Big Brother Curtis, Julian, a.k.a. Jules the Commish, and Headley, this is Cal C. And you just tuned in to the AV podcast. I almost want to say We the North Radio. On South Shore Ave Radio. We'll be back to do game one of this NBA Finals. Wow. I'm just going to say it one more time. We'll be back to do game one of the NBA Finals, our reaction podcast. All right. Until then, peace.